This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and t-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
For a little gritty, totally glam, punk rock episode of Fat Mascara. Jen, how are you?
I'm punk rock.
What's up?
We have lots of cool stuff to talk about today. USA, the Golden Girls and Boys of the Olympics. Then, is your cosmetic really a drug? I know, very interesting.
It's very punk rock today.
And finally, a little riddle. What has brown hair, a white streak, and is black and blue all over?
What, Jen?
It's me! I have bruises, and we're going to fix it.
We also have a very special guest today. We have Theo Kogan, amazing woman. She is a makeup artist, the founder of Armor Beauty, and the singer of the Luna Chicks. Jen.
Yes, Jess.
You've been watching the Olympics.
Are you kidding me? I'm obsessed. I like jump off my couch and think I'm a gymnast.
You're so sporty.
I love it. I love watching. I get very patriotic.
I think that's sweet. I have been watching highlights, but really what has intrigued me the most are the beauty looks.
I know. I feel a little guilty talking about this because I really want to acknowledge that it's all about their athleticism and the sport, and really we should, you know, that yes. First and foremost. But really,
Well, yes, that's all a given. So please, no hate mail.
That was my disclaimer.
No, yes.
What do you like?
I loved Simone Biles' like turquoise glittery eyeliner.
Yeah, one night she had sort of like a red, white, and blue glitter lined up on the bottom lash line. I was very impressed. So did you see the soccer players?
What were the soccer players?
They were doing, a lot of girls actually did this, the sort of French braid in the front, like if you have bangs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And at first I was like, ooh, cool new braid. But then I realized from playing sports in my youth, like all the little flyaways, it's the perfect way to get all your hair and bangs and all the little fuzzies along your hairline into something that's going to stay if you're getting like tackled, you know? But so like, it might not just be for cute looks.
Yeah. I thought Ryan Lochte looked cute with his little, like, you know,
oh, he's
bleached blonde hair. Yeah.
Yes.
But then he jumped in the pool and it turned kind of green, so.
Which any woman knows happens when you're in chlorine and you just bleached your hair. Whatever, he's trying. I saw the woman that did shot put. Her name's Michelle Carter. She won the golden shot put.
Oh, you're really watching like everything.
Oh, God. That gives it away, doesn't it? But I was like,
I missed the shot put.
I was just thinking to myself, this woman just did this most impressive like feat of athleticism. She looked so good, like not even sweating. Her makeup was perfect, whatever. And then I was like Googling around about her just to learn a little bit more. I get really into it. She's a makeup artist.
Stop it.
A professional makeup artist.
And she has time to shot put?
Yeah, she's the shot diva. She has a website and everything. You can hire her to do your bridal makeup to do. But anyway, I was very proud of myself for noticing. I was like, she looks a lot really more put together than some of the other athletes I've seen. And it makes sense because she is a makeup artist, which I just think is kind of awesome. Well, usually they work at like Home Depot on the side or whatever.
Well, you know, you saw those two morons on Fox News, right?
Don't even get on Sports Court, I think it was called.
Oh, my God. So, you know, we're having a little chat about the beauty looks here, but we're just kind of admiring and saying this is nice. But these two idiots... We'll have a link to it on our blog. Please check it out, fatmascara.com.
I'm SMHing so hard right now.
Shaking my head. But these two morons were saying, why don't the female athletes put on a little concealer so they don't have to look at their zits? And this one guy was saying, like, put on a little, like, blushification. Like, he added, like, four extra syllables.
And then he called it blusher. Yeah.
Basically saying it's the female Olympians, right? Olympians.
Yeah.
Like duty to look good while they're on screen. And this one guy, he had, I'm going to get a fairly decent point. He was like, well, the cosmetics companies are looking, and this is like, you know, a prime time for endorsement deals.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, this is like a kind of a savvy, sleazy, but opportunistic. You know, it's like a very businessy point of view.
Oh, okay, sure.
And I was like, okay.
You're giving him too much benefit of the doubt.
I am, but I'm thinking, okay, if he's like, you know, looking at it from a very commercial point of view, like, you know, you want to put on your game face, no pun intended.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of gross. It was gross, like, to say that on television.
Yeah, I feel like also you're not an athlete, you're not a woman.
And you're like an older man. Well, these girls are like 17, 18 years old.
But really, the U.S. is just doing so well that how they look is just icing on the cake. You think any of these girls or guys, I guess, are going to get contracts out of it, like after Oscar season?
Well, here's the tricky thing. You know, P&G, who owns CoverGirl, and Aussie, they own a ton of these big American companies. They always get involved with the Olympics somehow. You see, like, the some of the Olympics athletes in their ads. But this is one American company. I think it's weird that you don't see more of these people all over the ads. And I was reading this article on Yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying it was really smart. They were saying that a lot of these athletes don't get contracts because they're a liability. Or that's one theory.
Wait, because what if they don't win a medal?
No, because they're like real people.
Oh, with real lives mm-hmm. that aren't like controllable like a celebrity would be?
Yeah, like it's just, it's not the same. I was thinking about like, wasn't Michael Phelps like caught smoking pot once?
Yeah, but couldn't that happen with a celebrity too? But I guess.
I think there's more.
Yeah, they're
cachet
more.
Cachet with the celebrity. Like Kate Moss can like do coke, but she's still Kate Moss, you know? but these are just. They're just kids, like really talented kids.
You're right, and they are young. It's true. You know? Well, that's too bad for them because I hope that they get, like, you know, a lot. They come home and we don't forget about them in 2 months. I feel like we love it for the summer, and then, like, at 2 months later, we're like, who's Michelle Carter, the makeup artist shot putter?
Exactly.
But I'm going to remember her.
I also want to say Kate Moss can allegedly do coke.
Oh, okay, fact check.
Yes. They laugh at you and scorn you too. What did I do then?
I had an athletic moment of my own this weekend.
Why are you laughing?
Because I'm just picturing how I'm like become a total shut-in on the weekends and you're like doing athletic things. Keep going.
Well, as we learned 2 weeks ago, you're allergic to exercise. Yes. So there's that.
Tell me about your athletic
moment. I hung out with my niece and nephew and we went to the pool and stuff. And like, I don't know, I horse around with them when I hang out with them. I came
just
home.
Just horsing around.
I do. Like I pick them up, I throw them around. Remember, I played rugby and water polo in college. Like,
I didn't know you played rugby.
The two
rugby.
Like gnarliest sports there are. Anyway.
That's terrifying.
I think I'm the only beauty editor in the world that has played rugby and water polo. Anyway, so I was playing around with them. I get back to my house. I am covered in bruises. I think I bruise easily. That's part of it. But especially in the summer, you're wearing like a shorts or short skirt. My legs look like someone's doing, they look like cupping. Did you see the swimmers with the cupping?
I did see that, yeah.
I'm covered in bruises. So I wanted to ask you, do you bruise easily and what do you do to like heal a bruise or cover up a bruise?
I have a thick layer of fat, so no, I don't bruise easily.
You really
and
don't?
And I also don't really engage in a lot of physical activity, so no. But I'd love to hear what you do.
Well, I called up a derm friend, because when don't I? And she suggested vitamin K cream. This was like a previous time. So I got like Scar Away has a vitamin K cream.
Okay.
So the vitamin K is supposed to like strengthen your capillary walls and like help heal a bruise. It didn't really work that well for me, but it's the only one that has like studies backing up that it works for bruises.
This is so you can just get this at the like Duane Reade, the CVS?
Yeah, vitamin K, it's Scarway vitamin K cream. But what did work, the other suggestion, which is not proven, doesn't have enough studies, but I will prove it for you. Arnica. Do you know about Arnica?
It sounds very health food store-ish.
Totally. And the one I get is actually from this Tenzing Momo, like, weird Eastern store in Seattle.
Say
like,
that word again.
Tenzing Momo. It's a...
I thought you were having, like, a stroke or something.
I think it's Nepalese. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
So my brother lives in Seattle, and I go to visit him, and it's one of those... It's like, you know, Northwest grungy. They sell a pure Arnica essential oil. I'm telling you, all you need is a tiny drop of the stuff on a bruise, and it'll heal up, like, within 2 days. I have it all over my
And don't
legs
get
right
it
now.
In your eye, right? Wash your hands right
no,
after.
No, you're right. Arnica's really, again, like we talked about, essential oils
don't
and it
mess
actually,
with them.
In large doses, can be kind of, you know, toxic.
Yeah.
So just a little bit on top of the bruise, or you mix it with, like, olive oil or safflower or something like that. That's
Ooh.
Been working for me. But question, because some people's bruises are, like, under eye circles or, like, a bruise, whatever. What concealer is, like, the... that covers a bruise?
I really like Illamasqua. Like they have, it's the kind of thing where it's almost like paste. Like if you just need a little bit and you tap it on and it really, like it's so heavily pigmented. I would liken it to the more popular Laura Mercier Secret Camouflage. Very dry.
Would you think it was weird if I put that on my legs?
No, I just tap it on.
Okay.
Another good one, the Kevin Aucoin Secret Camouflage. I know I've recommended that on this podcast
before. Oh, yeah.
That one, you could buy one little pot and you'll like die before
so, like,
it's done.
A pot or a compact one, not like a wand one.
Oh, hell no.
The wand's not going to do it.
No, it's good. Like spackle. Look for something that looks like spackle.
Okay. I don't know if I'm ready to go there. I'm doing the Arnica right now, but in case I need to, I have a big event coming up. I'm gonna try that on my legs. Thanks, Dr. Jess.
I'm so glad I could be of help. Jen, I know that today we saw the article in the New York Times about the Wen hair controversy. A lot of people are complaining about having hair loss, which they blame on Wen's cleansing conditioners.
Right.
We're definitely not going to try to reach a verdict about whether or not Wen's hair care caused that.
Yeah, and that's been going on for months.
Yeah.
They've been having those problems. But what was interesting in the article for me was that it's risen to the level of a lot of people are like, why isn't this regulated?
Yeah.
Like, they should have tested it before it came out on the market. And it made me realize I don't think a lot of people know what the FDA does before a drug or a cosmetic comes to market. Like, if I'm wrong, let me know. But, like, don't you agree that people don't realize how it works?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think if it's a product, a beauty product, that it's definitely safe and the government like checks their shampoos and lipsticks and all that. And that's just not true.
Yeah, so when it's a cosmetic, like this Wen shampoo, does anything happen beforehand?
So the FDA defines a cosmetic as something that Is it going to beautify? That's really their word. Beautify, promote attractiveness, or alter the appearance. And that includes makeup, cleansing shampoos like Wen's product, lipstick, perfume, skin moisturizer.
Yeah, they're things that are, they're only changing your appearance, not your body function or acting as a drug. But drugs, which the FDA does regulate, are those ingredients that actually serve a health or wellness benefit, like the aluminum in a deodorant or the sunscreen or the salicylic acid that is healing acne. These are drugs. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there are drugs that are prescription drugs, like a retinoid or things like that. But what I don't think people realize is, regardless of whether it is a cosmetic or a drug, the government isn't getting involved until it's on the market. So the cosmetics don't go through any testing. Drugs, if it's a drug, has been tested, obviously, but the cosmetics haven't been tested beforehand. And weirdly, the FDA has been getting crazy on it this summer. I don't know if you know this. No, they've been sending out all these letters to cosmetic companies that are making drug claims. For example, you know Freeze 24/7?
Of course.
Okay, so on their website, one of their products, they say, is a natural alternative to Botox and other potentially harmful invasive procedures. Right there, that's a drug claim. If you're saying, we do what Botox does, but we're just a cosmetic, that's a drug claim. So they're getting a letter. You have to either reformulate and not do that, or you have to change your claim, which is something else I think people don't realize. They think, oh, it's not a drug because it doesn't say it's a drug. It could very well be a drug inside, but if they don't claim drug benefits, then it's not problematic.
Yeah, it's a word game. Like things like treats, cures, these are like too, exactly. They go a bit too far for the FDA. But the product inside, what you're saying is, you know, it can actually alter the chemistry of your skin or make a real change beyond like blush or foundation.
Yeah, there's, for example, there's a serum I use. It's a growth factor serum. And I was talking to the people that make it. And I said, this really feels like it's actually a drug. Like the amount of like change it does on wrinkles and how it heals your collagen and promotes all this other stuff. I was like, why isn't this a drug that you went through like drug trials and put it on the market as a prescription drug? And they were so careful. They were like, we are not claiming that it makes those effects. I was like, but I just saw the before and afters and it fully is doing like drug-like effects. But because they don't claim the drug-like effects, it doesn't have to be sold as a drug, which is like a little bit shady.
Okay, I like the idea of some kind of regulation when things get tricky, when there's, you know, big problems clearly happening with some brands. But I don't like the idea of everything having to go through like a very rigorous bureaucratic system, because then I think that it will slow down innovation. Mm-hmm. And it worries me from a business perspective for
totally
young brands.
And you're bringing up the major point, which is the industry is actually split right now, and there's two bills in Congress. Do we regulate everything before? I mean, they're not voting on them just yet. Or is it just that companies have to let everybody know if they're getting complaints about a product, and then the FDA will investigate? But just so everybody out there knows, as of now, that shampoo in your shower, that lipstick that you have, it did not go through any sort of governmental test before it went on the shelf to you. So I feel like people have to do their own research. And if they're worried about particular ingredients, it's on them. And if you want to find out more about this, because it is a really complicated issue, you can go onto our blog on fatmascara.com. I'll put a link to some of the FDA's information about what is a cosmetic versus what is a drug. So you can find out for yourself. She can sing, she can do most anything. She is a drug, the turn of the
tide. She can fight, she can pause. We are so excited to have Theo Kogan in the house today. I've met Theo a few times over the years, but my first introduction to Theo was probably like seeing her many times fronting the Lunachicks, like crowd surfing, watching you in venues over the like in New York and New Jersey. You are really just like one of like the first women that I saw be both very like glamorous and gritty and badass in the punk scene. And then I was reintroduced to you as a beauty editor, having created this amazing line, Armor Beauty. So Thea, we have so many questions for you, how you got from A to B.
Let's talk about singing first. When you first started performing, how much of a role did your look play into your music?
Well, you know, I was thinking back to our first show ever. I, you know, literally put on like my Brucci red lipstick and like
Brucci, yes, 99 cents.
Yes, and like a white eyeliner. Maybe it was like a little bit opalescent. And went on stage, and I was terrified, but I just, like, once I got on there, I kind of just lost my mind, and that was it. And then as time went on, you know, I think from bands we were seeing, from being out in sort of club world, because I was also, like, I became a go-go dancer in gay clubs, and I met my friend of a million years now, Miss Guy, who pretty much taught me how to do makeup. He was a makeup artist, drag queen, then he fronted the Toilet Boys. And he really taught me things, you know, I threw makeup on, but he was like, taught me how to contour, and not like today contouring, but like beauty contouring that mm-hmm. you couldn't necessarily tell, but it made things, you know, your cheekbones pop or whatever. And so that kind of brought me into this whole other world, because ultimately, like, as a child, I imagined myself as this like 6-foot Barbie doll, which is really a drag queen, right? But I didn't know what that was. And so as I started to learn these things, and then also with touring, it can be so boring sitting around waiting to go on, you know, after you've sound checked and all this stuff. And we really did everything ourselves.
Yeah.
So then, like, and if you were opening for a band and you had to wait through other bands, and or if you were headlining, whatever. And so putting on makeup became a way to pass the time. Because I could just put it on for like 2 hours. Just going, you know, keep like going. Meditative. More eyelashes, more glitter, you know. And then also we would do things within the band to sort of like outdo each other. Not necessarily outdo, but like today I'm going to black out all my teeth.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Except one, and she's going to black out. Only one tooth, and we're going to, like, match, not match, you know, yin and yang each other. Or, you know, there was some show, and somewhere I have pictures of this, where we were in Germany somewhere, and I was just like, I had a pink wig, and I was like, I'm just going to make, like, a pink unibrow. And I looked like this, like, Muppet, you know, and the eyelashes and everything else, like, glamour, and then, like, giant unibrow.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily ever planned until it was a little bit later, but it was more of like, I'm going to entertain myself. I'm going to, you know, become sort of this larger-than-life character and also, like, make each other laugh. Right. You know, that was a big part of it too, is self-entertaining.
And to pass the time.
Yeah.
So when you were doing your own makeup, obviously your friend gave you some tricks. Did you do the other girls' makeup? Did you have a kit? Or were you just like slapping it together with whatever you could find?
I definitely had a kit. I started collecting things and brushes and all that kind of stuff. And then Guy taught me how to make really clumpy giant eyelashes, and then I made tops and bottoms, and you know, halfway through a show they would be down my face. And then there was also like Manic Panic sponsored us on tour with glitter, so we had like, I mean, so much glitter.
Was that a total game changer?
That was just like, tour? Was it that was just a game like changer in that we didn't have to worry about, you know, using it up, so it was just like everywhere. We bought aloe. You can use, you know, aloe vera gel is great to hold anything on your skin, so we would aloe vera up and then and everything
just
was covered.
Dip yourselves in glitter.
Yeah, pretty much. And so everyone really did their own and sort of got into doing their own for, you know, special occasions. Special occasions.
Or, air quotes, everyone.
Or album covers. Guy usually did our makeup. I think he did almost all of them, except for maybe the first I did that. And maybe the last, I think I did my own.
And so when you were doing your makeup for 2 hours, if you had the time,
yeah.
Was that like a way to get into like Theo performance mode? Like, do you use it like a costume almost? So when you're on stage, do you think of yourself as like your everyday self, or do you inhibit a character?
I think it was like, you know, I would also do my vocal warm-ups and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was definitely like painting on this alter ego, for sure. And there was something about, in a way, having all that armor on, you know, and the makeup and hair and then the costume, whatever it was, that made me feel like that larger-than-life Barbie doll giant.
Right.
You know, and that was the place where, in this costume, I was like, felt like a superhero. And it was like, nobody can touch me. Nobody's going to grab my ass. If anybody fucks with me, I'm going to fucking kill them. You know, that was sort of the way it felt. It was like a feminist superhero, you know, but also this very feminine, you know, but in a John Waters, you know, I vomited all over everything with glitter way, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Did you feel you needed that in the music scene?
You know, again, it was like, I don't know.
Or maybe just personally?
Personally, yes.
Because your music was, you know, it's tough, it's aggressive, it's not, it doesn't seem like, on its own, it doesn't feel like, oh, yeah, this is somebody who definitely needs, you know, a little extra help, you know, standing up for themselves. So it's funny to me that you say you'd need that.
Yeah, I mean, being all together, you know, we started in high school, you know, we were teenagers, and we also were tough from growing up here and hanging out and, you know, being messed with on the train or wherever else. And so, you know, we were already sort of like a gang without being a gang. So it was very like us against the world feeling, even if it wasn't, you know. And being in the music business that was predominantly, you know, dominated by men in bands and boys and having to prove yourself constantly. And all the bands that we went on tour with, sometimes we were like, yay, we're going on tour with whoever, we'll leave it there. And then their whole audience was jocks.
Yeah.
And I would literally have to like hit somebody in the head to get them to like me. Like literally.
Yeah.
You know, someone would be like, show us your tits. And then I'd be like, come here. I'm going to show you. And then bam, with the microphone.
And I'm just thinking now for our listeners that might not know the Lunatics, like what years are we talking about? Like what, how when were you guys touring the most heavily? I want to know when that exact show was.
Like, that was during the, I would say, mid to late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so, to, like, ground it in what was going on with beauty and fashion that time. Anyway, it was also, like, its own damn thing. It wasn't about the minimalist whatever.
It was a great 90s. Time for beauty.
Yeah. Yes. It really was.
Yes.
Heavy, heavy glitter presence.
Oh, yeah. Heavy cheekbone and heavy lip.
So, were there, like, you said an oversized Barbie was sort of, like, what you were thinking. Were there also any beauty icons you had growing up, like, people that you looked up to in music and film in art?
Absolutely, of course. I mean, Debbie Harry was my idol as a little kid, and Wendy O. Williams from Plasmatics, and there's Susie Sue and Nina Hagen and Grace Jones. I mean, there were so many amazing creative women in music sort of throughout the 70s and 80s and stuff, and then the Runaways, oh my God. You know, that, like, I remember when I discovered them and was like, they're teenagers. What?
Yeah.
You know, they're so amazing and they look so cool.
When the Lunatics started to wrap up, were you searching around for what you want to do next, or did you always have in your mind that I want to get into, say, modeling, for example? Or were you doing it at the same time?
I was doing it at the same time.
Okay.
So sort of around 94, 95, I was cast in a CKB campaign.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which was shot
by
Richard Avedon. Orlando did hair. And I cannot.
Peter, shut up.
I don't know if it was Kevin Aucoin or Francois Nars that did makeup. And literally, I was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. And I get in there.
So at the time, you knew how amazing it was.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I think I had already done, I had tried to be a model as a teenager. And then I went back and they were like, you have a tattoo. And I had like one tattoo. And I was like, okay, whatever. But, like,
isn't that funny that was like a hindrance?
Yes. Weird. And then later when I was sleeved with tattoos, that's when I started to get a lot of work. But at this point, I have like, you know, half sleeves, let's say. I got cast in the campaign, and then those two were doing, like, hair and makeup. And it was like, squish, 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 okay, your hair's good. And then it was like, here's some lip balm, a little eyebrow, and you're done. And I was like, whoa, 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 what?
You know, you're like, so used to your look and your armor,
like, but,
really.
But eyelashes? You know, anything? They're like, no, you're good. I was like.
It was not your thing.
No.
Did you get any, like, feedback? Because at that time you're still doing music, like, oh, like, you know, what's Theo doing now? She's a fashion model, or, you know,
this
is so unpunk, or was it past that at that point?
It was sort of past that, and I mean, I think maybe the rest of my band didn't really like it, but I just had the need to go and do it anyway. And then I was also like, well, this is like my job when I'm home, you know, and that's fun for me, you know, and but yeah, it was like we got more flack for like having a Winnebago than for me doing modeling.
That was your touring bus?
We were usually in vans. Then
yeah.
We got a Winnebago.
I love Winnebagos. What's wrong with a Winnebago? Like,
that was like two Lux or something?
Yes! Oh. Yes, and I was like,
they wanted you to be an Airstream, I guess?
Yeah.
Maybe more punk.
No, they wanted to be
like a van, like a literal van.
Van. Okay. Yeah, and I was just like, honey, if you knew where I've slept, like, you would not be giving me a hard time.
As you sort of like phased out of like touring all the time, and I keep wanting to say like, and grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of is growing
kind
up.
Of.
When did you first start thinking about like, oh, maybe being a makeup artist could actually be like my gig instead of doing all this?
I've always sort of gone my own path. And so after Lunatic stopped playing, then I started a solo project. And then I was like, I want to start a makeup line. And so I started the makeup line at Armor Beauty. And it's and then during that time I was like, wow, I should probably do makeup if I'm having makeup.
I remember when it was launching and people kept asking you for makeup tips, and like I think people just kind of assumed you were like a professionally trained makeup artist because we were so used to makeup artists starting
yeah.
lines. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you did it the other way around.
I totally did the opposite way.
Whatever, fake it.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I thought you were a makeup artist at that point. But okay, so tell us about Armor Beauty. So it launched in what, 2009?
2008 and then 2009.
Okay.
So 2008 it launched.
Great time to be launching a new business.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. How did it come about and why is it called Armor? Like, what did you want to do?
So it was literally like I was just like, I want to start a lip gloss line. And I called my friend in LA and said, do you want to start a lip gloss line with me? And she was like, yeah.
That's the greatest.
I don't know. Story ever. The greatest. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know what I was doing at all. But
right.
I was like, you know, I have the sort of wherewithal to jump into anything if I'm feeling passionate about it. I got a women's business loan to start it, paid it off. You know, I've never taken any money from anybody else. It's been very, very hard. But it is, like, full-on, like, punk rock DIY, you know, still, really.
We didn't talk about, like, when you started getting hired to do other people's makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that come about? Obviously, you have your own makeup line, but now you're getting booked for, like, gigs, legit.
Yeah. I work with a lot of bands and artists on various labels, which I really enjoy because I get it, you know. Being able to go in and not try to convince somebody what their look should be. I mean, sometimes I like people to, like, take risks and, like, okay, you can wear, like, the magenta lipstick today instead of the paint, you know, whatever, the the beige, mm-hmm. you know, let's say. But I know what being an artist and wanting to look the way you look because that's you or your yeah. character or whatever. So I really enjoy that, and I just understand the whole scene around it, you know. And it's also interesting working with bands on major labels because I never was on a major label. And sort of seeing the machine and
how lucky you were to
have. In some way, well, it was like, you know, if anybody had told any of us in the Lunatics how we should be dressing,
yeah,
or you know, it just it was laughable. So
forget
it's
it.
Like they everyone knew who we were. People loved us, but they were all like intimidated or thought we were too silly or you know all these things. And really, it never would have worked anyway.
Yeah.
Before you
That's
go,
awesome.
We didn't even talk about products themselves. Like some of you make products, sure, but like what are some of your I like want to know for stage, but I more want to know because it's helpful for our listeners.
Right.
Like, what are some of your favorite products you use now that you're a makeup artist?
Oh my gosh, so many things. I mean,
did
I
did you bring your bag?
I brought my
Please.
Bag. Please. Oh. I kind of stuffed it full of stuff.
Show us what's inside.
Oh, it's a beautiful bag.
Thanks.
It's like holographic.
I love anything holographic. So I know that you guys are into sun protection. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this rates, but it's been not
oh, that's
making me break out.
Sun Shield Coconut.
Yeah, they sell it at Whole Foods. It's like a nice non-chemical sunscreen.
Then I also have this, which I kind of can't use on my face because it's too stinky, but I've been using it on my arms.
Chanel UV Essential. You put that on your arms? You are a rich lady.
I
that's someone
gave it. It was a gift. It was a gift.
No, it's like a face sunscreen.
It's like
putting La Mer on your body
on your feet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Then this is amazing, amazing rose
oh, I've never
face
seen
oil
this.
From. Oh, there's some of my hair on it.
It's
sorry.
Okay.
And it's from this Australian company that is incredible.
What's the name of the company?
MV. I've never heard of it.
MV Organic Skincare Rose Plus Booster.
How'd you find out about that?
So my friend connected me with Sharon, who runs the company. My friend is amazing, and she was a personal assistant to somebody who was hooked up with them. And so then we started swapping stuff, and it's
ooh, that's
incredible.
Fun. If you own a company, you could probably like trade
yes,
these.
Yes.
What else do you get?
Then I just recently got this, and it's kind of great.
People love Tarte, don't they?
I what
is
people
that have
Tarte?
Shape Tape. Oh, that's such a great name.
I know.
Shape Tape Contour Concealer.
Contour Concealer.
Look at this. Nice
I mean, that
part,
like that, the doe foot's ginormous.
It's really
so,
it's
like you just have to go like doop, doop.
That's
and then,
cool.
Yeah. This has been my reigning favorite scent for a while.
Oh, she's like a perfume nerd. Go ahead.
Me too. I'm obsessed.
Dark Wave.
It's called Dark Wave?
Yes.
That name is good.
You really like it. Look at that.
That's probably my fourth or fifth bottle of it.
Wow.
And it's made by this woman in Portland.
Ooh.
And,
it's like a stinky, sexy hippie.
Yeah.
Yes, it's definitely like a sexy hippie.
I can't even describe it. It's delicious. I wonder what's in there.
Write that
it's
down.
It's vetiver, cardamom.
You're taking notes in the middle of our podcast.
Sorry, I never heard of this brand.
Yeah, it's good. And the website's
really
cute. Oh,
cardamom.
Really cute.
That's
cardamom,
what I'm smelling.
That's like the hippie
cinnamony
feeling.
And dirty
yeah,
in
spicy.
A good way.
And then, of course, I have my armor, which is like, this is one of my favorites. It's called Candy. And
that was
going to
be my
lilac.
One question I didn't ask. Like, what's your all these children, you're all your different colors.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good
Candy
question.
Is like a go-to?
Yeah, candy's a go-to, and it doesn't look like a go-to, but it is. But I go through phases, but that's kind of been a reigning queen.
This is the summer go-to.
Yeah.
Candy.
How would you describe this color?
Lilac.
Lilac, okay. Then last but not least, what is this special
I
thing?
Just got this, and it's a fragrance and a bug repellent.
Oh, Armor Flage or something. How do you say it?
Aromaflage. I feel like I'm going to break it.
Did it work for you? Did it keep the bugs away?
I don't know.
I love the scent, but I wasn't sure if it kept all the bugs away, but it smells really good. You've been so much fun. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. This is
so
awesome.
Jessica Matlin.
What's up?
Raise a wand.
I am ready to raise a wand. Now, I'm not wearing my product right now, but let me display this gorgeous color for you. Look at this.
Okay.
I'm on a plier right now.
In the middle of when you're talking about it?
This is the most stunning Kat Von D liquid lipstick I've ever seen. And here's the bonus.
What?
All proceeds, 20%, which is still a hefty amount.
Yes.
You know what brands are giving out? Like 1%, and then they pat themselves on the back.
Oh, for charity?
It makes me sick.
Totally.
Anyway, 20%
of the Project Chimps color. Project Chimps. It's this beautiful...
like, chimps like monkeys?
Yes, like monkeys, okay? It's this gorgeous red. We'll go to Project Chimps, which is a nonprofit organization working to help bring these chimps that are like, you know, poked and prodded and God knows what for medical research, bring them to a sanctuary. This limited edition lipstick goes on sale on August 23rd.
That's like days away.
Next week.
Get it now.
It's incredible. And I put it on last week and I got so many compliments and it did not budge all day. It's a stunning color. Please check it out.
What would you call that color?
Oh, I would call it like a sumptuous, velvety, autumnal red. I know I'm all about this shade lately, but this is a matte that you just won't find anywhere else.
Plus, it helps the monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, it's dark what happens out there, and I'm so happy that Kat Von D is like basically a champion.
Nice. Well, now I feel like an ass because yours gives to charity and mine just makes my legs look better.
Well, you said it.
Oh, harsh.
JK, tell me about your legs.
I know I'm obsessed with my legs right now, but it's summer. It's the last days. It's like 400 degrees out. Have you ever used the Schick Intuition pomegranate razor? Schick makes these razors where the shaving cream is built in. It looks like a deodorant stick around the razor blade.
Oh, yeah. I have seen that.
And they look crazy and big, and you're like, "What? That's never going to work in a million years." Let me tell you, it fully works. The razor's super sharp inside. I don't know how they do it, but you wet your skin and then you just stroke it up and down real quick. Oh, God. This is
going stroke it.
Okay, let me start again. No, you can keep that. It's fine. No, the razor, like, I hate having to lather up and then shave my legs.
So you don't have to use shaving cream for this.
You don't have to use shaving cream, but it doesn't get so thick and foamy. This is getting even grosser. Okay, because you can still see where you're shaving. You know how you go over your knees with the shaving cream
and you cut? Does it benefit chimps? Because if it doesn't, I'm not interested.
No, it doesn't benefit chimps. But I'm telling you, if you are packing for a trip or you're in, like, an outdoor shower down the shore, it's the bomb because you don't need the shaving cream and you can see your knees so you don't get cut. You'd think that big wide thing around it would be like unwieldy. It's totally not. It really, really works. Also, pomegranate scent, I don't know. It just smells really good.
Oh, I love pomegranate. Okay, yeah. I'll give it a try.
Yeah, and I feel like it lasts longer than a regular razor cartridge that doesn't have that thing around it. I feel like they knew there was a lot of shaving cream, so they better make darn good blades to last as long as the shaving cream. We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.